Thank you very much, Mr. McClun, and I'm very glad and very happy to be with you all today. As you know, I'm just a visitor here today, as indeed some of the mums and dads are. But can I give you a special welcome and thank you for sending your children along to Sunday school here every day. It's important in this day and age that boys and girls hear the Word of God. It's important in this day and age that boys and girls are taught the Word of God and taught that they need to be saved and that they need to be born again of the Spirit of God. So today we're going to think of a seaside town. Many of us, perhaps in the coming weeks when we finish school, and maybe perhaps mum and dad get time off work for a period, we'll be thinking about going away for holidays. Most times we'll go to a seaside town, or maybe a seaside in some warm country or some warm place, so that we can enjoy the nice sunshine. Today we're going to think of a seaside town. It was a very busy seaside town. It was a very nice seaside town. And I'm going to tell you the story today about a man who lived in this beautiful seaside town. No doubt it would have had a beautiful beach. No doubt it would have had beautiful waves lapping on that beach. No doubt it would have been a very nice place to go day by day. It was in a country where the sun would shine very often. And so I'm telling you today the story of a man who lived in this seaside town. And yet, he couldn't go for a walk on the beach. He couldn't go for a swim in the tide. He couldn't take himself out into the town and make himself busy. He couldn't do any of those things. This man was born a cripple. He grew up as a young boy, a cripple. He's now a man. When he wakens in the morning, he can't think, well, I'll walk into town today and I'll do some business, I'll get some shopping. He couldn't think, after I've done all that, perhaps I'll go down to the beach and perhaps I'll take a walk with some of my friends along the beach. He couldn't do any of that because this man couldn't walk. Now, I would like you, I'm sure you have a Bible in your house, and I would like you to be able to read this story for yourself and to help you remember where you can find this story for yourself, because there are 66 books in the Bible. There are 39 in the Old Testament. There are 27 in the New Testament. There are 66 altogether. And you might think, well, Peter, it's going to be hard for me maybe even to find the book in the Bible where this story is. Well, I remember a lot of years ago finding this out and thinking it was really interesting. And so I'm going to share it with you this morning. I would like you to go home, mums and dads as well. I would like you to go home today and fetch a Bible from wherever it is in your house. And I would like you to read this story for yourself today. After you hear the story this morning, take time out today to read it for yourself. Because the Bible tells us that the entrance of God's Word into our hearts bringeth forth light. So mums and dads, boys and girls, I would like you to read this story today for yourself. So where can I find it, I hear you ask? Well, I've told you that the Bible has 66 books in it. Which one of the books can I find this story in, you might ask? You might even ask, what part of the Bible can I find it in? Well, if you just remember the figure 2, It's all you need to remember. The figure two. And then you'll find this story pretty easy. There are two parts to the Bible. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. We want to look at the second part of the Bible, in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we have 27 books. We want to think about the second book, Matthew, Mark. And when you find the second part of the Bible, and when you find the second book in the second part of the Bible, well then, just go to the second chapter in that book, the book of Mark, and you'll find this story. But then when I was thinking about this, we even need to think about the second word in this story. Second part of the Bible, second book of that part of the Bible, the second chapter in that book. And then we'll think of the second word. The second word, all of the story is very important, but the second word is very important. So I have the story in front of me in my Bible. It's in the second part, in the second book, in the second chapter. The second word is the word again. It's just the word again. And you might ask me, well, what's so important about the word again? Well, the story tells us that again he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I was very pleased to hear that when the choir sung their first song today, that they sung the song that God cannot fail. Just God can not fail. Never has, and he never will. God just cannot, nor will he ever fail. And so we are thinking today that it tells us in this story that again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he cannot fail. The Son of God entered into Capernaum. Now that's important, because if the Bible tells us that again Christ entered into Capernaum, that simply means he must have been there before. If you come to this Sunday school and you were here last week, well then you're back again this week, because you've been here before. And so it says that again the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Capernaum. So he had been there before. Now that's important, because when the Lord Jesus Christ was in Capernaum, the Bible tells us that in Capernaum, when he had been there before, he done many mighty works. So in other words, boys and girls, mums and dads, whenever Christ had been in Capernaum before, people had seen him do miracles. They'd seen him heal the sick. They had seen him make the blind to see. They had seen him make the lame to walk. They had seen him make the deaf to hear. So he's back again in Capernaum, this beautiful seaside town. And let's not forget, he's back again in the seaside town where there's a man living there who can't walk to the beach. He can't go down to the seaside. This man's legs just don't work. These four bits of cardboard are going to be very important in this story to try and help you remember. But this man's legs just didn't work. He couldn't walk. And so the Bible tells us that again, the Lord Jesus Christ had gone back to Capernaum, and the people in the little town of Capernaum, they heard, and they started to talk to one another, and they would say, have you heard? Have you heard who's back in town? Do you know who's come back to Capernaum. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ was here some time ago and he'd done many mighty works? Do you remember the time that he made the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear? Do you remember all of that? He was here before. He's back again. And the people would remember that the Lord Jesus Christ had been there before. Now, I've told you about the man who couldn't walk. Well, the man who couldn't walk, he had four friends who were very concerned about this man who couldn't walk. And they were amongst all of the other people who had heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was back in town. And when they remembered that he was the one who could make the lame to walk, they thought, it's important we go to our friend who's not able to walk. It's important that the four of us go to where he lives, and we'll go and we'll pick him up, bed and all. We'll lift him, bed and all. And the four of us will carry him to where the Lord Jesus Christ is. I just think that's ever so good. In this story, you'll read that these four men, it says in verse 4 of chapter 2 of the book of Mark, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. They didn't take him to the nearest synagogue. They didn't take him to the nearest doctor. They didn't take him to one of his other friends. No, they took him to where Jesus was. Isn't that right? Isn't that wonderful? And you know, boys and girls, your mum and dad perhaps send you out to Sunday school. And you come to your Sunday school class. Do you know? Well, if you don't know this, I'm going to tell you, but I think you probably already do know this, that each one of your Sunday school teachers, the minister sitting behind me, it's their deepest desire to bring you to where Jesus is. They don't want you, well, okay, they do want you to come to Sunday school. Of course they do. But they want you to come to Sunday school so that they can bring you to where Jesus is. They want you to come to Sunday school so that they can teach you about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that they can tell you that you need to be saved. So that you can be saved and live a life for Christ. And then be in heaven with Christ. And so, boys and girls, these four men, they wanted to bring their friend who couldn't walk, poor man, they wanted to bring him, bed and all, to where Jesus was. Do you know, sometimes when I think of this story, I imagine that perhaps the day that Jesus Christ was in that house and everybody started to talk about it and the house was packed with people, everybody was there listening to what Jesus had to say. And I'm imagining that on that day, everybody was making their way to the house where Christ was. They wanted to hear what he had got to say. And I imagine that perhaps if you'd stood there that day, maybe in the street corner, perhaps you might just have seen four men. Perhaps they were walking in the opposite direction. Perhaps everybody was going this way. That's where Jesus is. We want to go and hear him. But perhaps there were just four men, and they were perhaps just walking the other direction, and they were away to lift their friend and bring him to Christ. Eventually, when they reached the house, it was packed, and they couldn't get in. Houses in those days, boys and girls, were not like your house and my house. My house has a roof like this on it, pointy roof. In Bible days, houses had flat roofs. And perhaps if you live in a, I live in a bungalow, but if you live in a house, you've got your stairs inside. Well, the flat-roofed houses in Bible times, they had their stairs outside. And so these four men, they decided, oh, the house is filled with people. How are we going going to get our friend to where Christ is. They weren't going to be beat. They just didn't say, oh, maybe some other time we'll come back. They weren't going to say, okay, we'll try and get some of these people to come out so that we can go in. No, they weren't going to be beat. And so up the stairs on the side of the house they would go, and they got onto the roof. And when they got onto the roof, they started to take the tiles off, one by one. And you know, boys and girls, I told you earlier on that sometimes I imagine things that might have happened in the story. And so these four men, they're starting to take the tiles off the roof. And sometimes I think, well, if I was one of the people inside that house, if I had been inside that house on that day, I might all of a sudden have felt bits of plaster fall on my head. Now, if bits of plaster start to fall on your head, the first thing you're going to do is look up. And so I imagine that the people in that house, they looked up. And as they looked up, boys and girls, they would see that there was a hole appearing, ever so small to start with, but there was a hole appearing in the ceiling. And it would get bigger and bigger and bigger. And you would be watching, and as it would get bigger and bigger and bigger, then it would come the time that it was so big, as you watched and you could see the sky above, as you kept on watching this hole get bigger and bigger and bigger, you would see four heads looking down through this hole. They were making sure that they could get the bed with the man who was sick of a palsy and couldn't walk. They were making sure that the hole was big enough that the bed could be lowered down. Do you know, boys and girls, it's wonderful. This story is so, so good that the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he was even looking up at the hole that was appearing in the ceiling. Everybody in the house, they seen four heads looking down. But Christ, he seen something that nobody else could see at all. Nobody could see this except for the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he see? The Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 2 of the book of Mark, it says that when he saw their faith. So the Lord Jesus Christ seen the faith of the four men, because they believed, because of what they'd seen and heard, because of what they'd even experienced in their own hearts, they believed that God, we remember the first song that we heard today, they remembered that God can never fail. And so they had the faith. We have brought our friend to Christ. And Christ, he's not going to fail. And neither he did. Because the next thing they do, if you were watching through this hole, you would see four heads. They would disappear. And then, lo and behold, you would see a bed coming down ever so slowly. And you know, boys and girls, the Bible tells us that it landed at the feet of Jesus. Exactly the place where your Sunday school teacher wants to bring you. Now, very quickly, when it landed at the feet of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had seen their faith. Then he looks at the man lying on the bed, the man who couldn't walk, the man who had been sick from the day and hour he was born. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and he said to this man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The Lord Jesus Christ could see again. He could see something that nobody else could see. Not even the man himself. The Lord Jesus Christ could see that this man needed to have his sins forgiven, just like you, just like me. We all need to have our sins forgiven, because the Bible says that all have sinned. This man in the story, boys and girls, mums and dads, grannies and granddads, people throughout this whole wicked world, we're all sinners, the Bible tells us. And we all, like this man, needed to be saved. So the Lord Jesus Christ looks at this man and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then there were others in the house. And they asked a reasonable question. They asked the question, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Fair enough question. Who can forgive sins but God alone? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, and he is well able, because he can't fail, never has, never will, and he is able to forgive sins. But these people, they asked, who is this man that he thinks he can forgive sins? The Lord Jesus Christ knew all about what they were thinking, just as he knows all about what you and I are thinking every day of every week and every hour of every day. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, and with this I'll finish, the Lord Jesus Christ looked at these men who were asking this question and he said, Why are you asking this question? Why are you asking who does this man think he is that he thinks he can forgive sins? And then he said this, that you might know. I told you at the start that the word again was important. The word know, K-N-O-W, is important. The Lord Jesus Christ said to these men, he says, so that you might know that God has power on earth to forgive sins. He looked at the man on the bed and he said, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. And so he did. He rose up. Not only had he his sins forgiven, but he was made perfectly whole. He rose up. He folded up his bed. And he walked home that day. Why? Because he had met with the Son of God. He had met with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you the question. Mums and dads, boys and girls in the Sunday school, have you met with God? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know? Not just, well, I hope it'll be okay. Or not just, well, I'll maybe leave it till a later date. Not just, well, not just at the moment. But do you know, really know, in the deepest parts of your heart, do you really know that you're a Christian, that your sins have been forgiven, that Christ is your Savior, and like my dear old dad, nearly 92 years of age, passed away on the 6th of June, today I'm certain, today I'm so certain that he's in heaven with Christ. You can be sure that you will be in heaven with Christ if you trust him today and ask him to forgive your sins, to cleanse away your sinfulness, and to make you his child, so that you might know for sure that you're born again of the Spirit of God and that you'll be ready to be with Christ in heaven for all eternity. There's a verse, and with this I am finished, there's a verse in Timothy, and it starts with these words, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Tonight, I would encourage mums and dads to come back tonight, and we're going to tell you a story about old-fashioned money. Look forward to seeing you. Thank you very much.